Good morning, Oregon. I'm Finn J.D. John, FJ at offbeatoregon.com, and this is the thrice weekly Offbeat Oregon History Podcast. It's Friday, so the show you're about to hear is a brand new episode, not a rerun. Thanks again for queuing it up, and I hope you enjoy the show today. This story was first published on May 3rd of 2015 under the headline, Oregon's Doolittle Raiders Made History in Startling Ways. Here we go. This article is the third in a series about Oregon's connection to the famous Doolittle bombing raid on Japan conducted in 1942, just a few months after the bombing of Pearl Harbor. The audacious airstrike was delivered by the Army's Pendleton-based 17th Bomb Group, taking off from the deck of the Navy's brand new aircraft carrier USS Hornet. Last week we talked about four of the aviators with deep Oregon connections. This week we'll finish up with three more. Colonel Dean Davenport. Dean Davenport was originally from Tacoma, but grew up in Portland and graduated from high school there. He was a law student at Albany College, now Lewis and Clark College, before he became a flying cadet in February 1941. Davenport was co-pilot on Plane 7, known as the Ruptured Duck. That name turned out to be apropos because, after dropping its bombs, the Ruptured Duck ran out of fuel over the East China Sea, just short of the beach it was trying to reach and land on, and plunged into the water. Davenport and his pilot, Ted Lawson, were thrown through the plane's windshield, still strapped to their seats. Despite severe injuries, they managed to get out of their chairs and make it to shore. Picked up by Chinese nationalist fighters, they were carried south through hostile country in various primitive carts and trucks, a journey that took 7 weeks. Finally, they were rescued by an Air Force plane, which took them home to recover. The Ruptured Duck's story was told in a 1944 movie titled 30 Seconds Over Tokyo, in which Tim Murdoch played Davenport's role. As part of the movie, Davenport reenacted the takeoff from the Hornet in another B-25 with a pier in Santa Monica standing in for the aircraft carrier's deck. Davenport retired in 1967. His awards include the Distinguished Flying Cross, Silver Star, and Legion of Merit. He died on February 14, 2000. Staff Sergeant Jacob DeShazer. Jacob DeShazer was born in Salem, the son of a Church of God pastor, and grew up on a wheat farm in Madras, graduating from Madras High School in 1931. He enlisted in 1940 and became a bombardier and airplane mechanic in the Air Corps, and when the Doolittle Raiders took off, he was at the bomb sites in the last plane to take off, Plane 16, dubbed Bat Out of Hell. DeShazer's was one of the airplanes that ran out of gasoline a little too early. Forced down in Japanese-controlled territory, they found themselves almost immediately in the power of their infuriated enemies. It seemed now that the crew of the Bat Out of Hell had found its way back into hell, along with three surviving crew members of another plane. There followed, at Japanese high command, a fierce debate over whether the aviators were prisoners of war, to be interned as per the Geneva Convention, or, quote, war criminals, to be tried and executed. A compromise was reached in which all were sentenced to death, but the sentences of all but three were commuted to life in prison. In prison, as you can imagine, the Americans were treated very poorly, underfed and frequently tortured. DeShazer's bitter hatred of the enemy changed, though, when he was given a Bible to read for 3 weeks before passing it on to the next prisoner. Returning to the faith of his youth, from which he had, of course, strayed, he finished out his time in prison as a devoted Christian. After the war, DeShazer enrolled in Seattle Pacific University and in 1948 was flying once again back to Japan to serve as a missionary there. While there, he made a new and lifelong friend in an ex-Imperial Navy flyer named Captain Mitsuo Fushida, the man who had, from the cockpit of his torpedo bomber, led the first wave of Japanese attackers into Pearl Harbor on December 7, 1941. DeShazer's awards included the Distinguished Flying Cross, Purple Heart, and Chinese Breast Order of Yonghui. He died on March 15, 2008, at his home in Salem. Major General David M. Davy Jones. David M. Jones was originally a Marshfield boy, that's Coos Bay today, although he graduated from high school in Arizona. He was the pilot of Crew 5 and was publicly identified by Doolittle himself as his top pilot. Jones and his crew had as close to a routine finish as was possible under the circumstances. He guided his plane as close as possible to a known friendly city before giving the order to hit the Silk. None of his men were captured or injured. After the raid, Jones was assigned to command the 319th Bomb Group in North Africa, flying B-26 Marauders against Rommel's forces. In December 1942, the Germans managed to shoot him down, and he now found himself a prisoner of war. Jones quickly developed a reputation in his prison camp, Stalag Luft III, for defiance and harassment of his German captors. Soon he was on the camp's X Committee, or Escape Committee, the secret group of prisoners who controlled and coordinated all attempts to escape. After the war, Stalag Luft III and its X Committee became famous for the audacious bust-out told of in the Steve McQueen movie The Great Escape. Jones led the digging team for the, quote, Harry Tunnel. The committee's plan involved three tunnels named Tom, Dick, and Harry. Only Harry made it to completion. In fact, the character of Captain Virgil Hiltz, the Cooler King, played by Steve McQueen himself, was partly based on Jones. Jones retired in 1973 and died at his home in Tucson on November 25, 2008. His awards include the Legion of Merit, Distinguished Flying Cross with one Oak Leaf Cluster, Air Medal, Purple Heart, Commendation Ribbon, and the Chinese Order of Yonghui. Key sources in this story have included DoolittleRaider.org, OHS.org, and the archives of the Salem Statesman Journal and New York Times. Well, that's our show for today. Thanks again for listening, and I hope you enjoyed it. This podcast is part of Offbeat Oregon History, a public history resource for the state we love. For more Offbeat Oregon goodies, social media links, stuff like that, check out our hub page at offbeatoregon.com. There you'll also find photos, art, and other resources that go with today's show, as well as full citations to the sources for this story. This podcast is covered under a Creative Commons license. For full details of that, see offbeatoregon.com/cc. Our theme music is by the Atlas String Band and was written by Carmen Ficarra. Listen and download more at atlasstringband.com. Questions, comments, corrections, just want to say hi? Email me at fj@offbeatoregon.com or ping me on Twitter @offbeatoregon. Also, if you're going to be in town near Oregon State University with time to talk about Oregon history over a cup or a flagon, let me know. Offbeat Oregon History episodes are uploaded every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday morning around 6 a.m., so the next one will be ready for you before you know it. And until then, go fill up the rest of today and the weekend with good stuff. Bye now.